In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Fatima, St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Voluntary,
pray for us.
St. Ignatius,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Afternoon. Thinking about the story of the priest that said, there's, starting off the Mass, he said, the microphone wasn't working. And he said, there's something wrong with the microphone, and the people said, and also with you. It's called original sin, right? Yes, okay. Thanks be to God for earthquakes, huh?
Yeah.
Just that you're aware, God speaks through circumstances. I think that maybe shake us out of our lethargy so that we're more fervent. Do you remember the one in the Bible where St. Paul was in jail? We read this in the Acts of the Apostles. Remember that? And all the doors were open and the prison guard was about to kill himself. And then Paul said, do nothing because we're here. He falls down on his knees and says, what should I do to be saved? And then Paul baptizes him and his whole family. How about that? So earthquakes are good at times, aren't they?
Yes.
All right, so we're building upon principle and foundation. So we've already meditated upon we're called to praise God and God present in creation. So, I'd like to give our brief catechesis. So the catechesis this afternoon will be different ways that we can talk to God. So your last meditation was related to adoration. We're called to praise God. So I'm going to give you a very catchy acronym that can help you to utilize four of the basic modes or manners that we pray. And it's by means of an acronym that has four letters and it's one word. And that would be A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. First would be adoration. We're called to praise God. We're called to adore God. Second would be contrition. We're called to repentance and tell the Lord we're sorry when we do commit sins. T would be we're called to thanksgiving. In the words of the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. And the last word letter is a more technical word we don't use too often in American English language, but it's the word is supplication. That's a big college word, isn't it? Supplication. Supplication, you know what that really means is we're asking the Lord for special graces. Are you a Matthew 7:7 person? I'm speaking like a Protestant pastor now, right? Are you a Matthew 7:7 person? I hope you are. Ask and you will seek and you will knock and the door will be. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, so you got it. That would be supplication. So that's our catechesis on prayer. Those are four modes or four different ways that we pray, taking into account that prayer is communication with God. When you talk with someone, you utilize usually those four types of modes of expression or communication when you talk with the person. You're not always asking. You're not always a beggar. Also, you admire a person, that person's qualities. If you make a mistake, you tell that person sorry. And we should always be overflowing in gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. We should always be thankful. All right, so let's go deeper into principle and foundation. We are created to praise God. Then after that, Ignatius says we're called also to reverence God. And then we're called to serve God. And by means of that, to save our souls. So I'd like to try to explain those few words from principle and foundation. How was your meditation on praising God with Daniel chapter 3? Was that helpful?
Yes.
It's a lot there, right?
Yes.
I love that passage. I mean, you're not lacking in material. You maybe only got through a few verses, but remember, if you're really striving to praise God, I think Daniel 3 is the best. I mean, you can go into other Psalm 148, 149, 150. Also, the Magnificat of Mary is another praise, or the Benedictus, these prayers that we say in the Liturgy of the Hours, but Daniel chapter 3 is one of my favorites. Okay, now we're called to reverence God. So start off with, as is my style, a story. Start off with a story. I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of talks. Probably in the top five of my favorite speakers is a man that was brought up and raised where in my neck of the woods. And if you hear he speaks, he would speak the way I could speak if I wanted to, like a New Yorker. I could speak New York English or New Jersey, okay? So I speak a certain English that is characteristic of the New Yorkers or the New Jerseyites, no? And his name is Father Benedict Rochelle. Have you heard of him? Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Yeah, he died about 10 years ago. I think a very holy priest. Father Larry once made a retreat with him there in Alhambra. When he was hit by a car, he's hit by a car in Orlando. He was actually in the hospital where my brother works as a surgeon. Yeah. Because he was run over by a car, and thanks be to God that he rebounded, no? Okay, here's the story of Father Groeschel. He said that he was in India giving a retreat. He didn't mention to whom, but it would have been the MCs, the Missionaries of Charity. Now I've given retreats to the Missionaries of Charity in various countries myself, so I know the MCs, and I met Mother Teresa more than once, no? So he said that one of his days off, he went to a nearby Buddhist temple. Not to change religions. But he just wanted to visit a local Buddhist temple there in Calcutta. So he entered in with his religious habit. As you say, in the modern world, he appears to be an advertisement for Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, huh? If you're an English major. But he entered into this Buddhist temple and he noticed that there was absolute silence. There was reverence. There was respect. And he ran into a Buddhist monk. And the Buddhist monk saw him dressed as a Franciscan priest, and the Buddhist monk actually, he bowed down to him in reverence, even though the Buddhist monk was obviously not a Catholic, but respected the Catholic priest that wore the religious habit. Now he returns to the States, and he goes into a Catholic Church, where you got the real presence, you got the Blessed Sacrament, and it was like going to Dodger Stadium. How sad, huh? There you have in a Buddhist temple where you got this religion. We don't believe it to be the true religion, but absolute respect for their place of cult. And then we go into the Catholic Church, and it's like entering into a bazaar, or the public market, or Dodger Stadium. And I think you know what we're talking about. So we're talking about reverence. We have lost the sense of reverence in many of our Catholic churches today. We lost the sense of reverence. So we have to recover the sense of reverence. And we in our parish here, we really strive to cultivate reverence. Do you notice when we come to our church that people don't talk? Do you notice that? That's the work of the oblate priest here for 30 years. Another story is my mom was in a church in another state, and there was a lot of talking in the church in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So she talked with the associate pastor, and the pastor and said, "Your fathers, you have to try to cultivate the sense of the sacred. We're losing the sense of the sacred. We're losing the sense of reverence in our Catholic churches." And they said to her, "Joan, we can't do anything about it." You know what my mom said? She said, "I don't agree with you, because my son is a priest, yours truly. And she said that when he celebrated his silver jubilee, which by the way was 13 years ago, and some of you are maybe present at my silver jubilee, okay, Rosa was some of you at my silver jubilee, we had two masses, one in Spanish and one in English. And what I asked for my 25th anniversary, I didn't ask for money or a limousine or a new car or to give me some money to go to Las Vegas. I didn't ask for that. I just wanted for my anniversary a holy hour for me and to celebrate the Mass." But I want it in two languages because my parents, their Spanish is like your Swahili, which means non-existent. So I want them to know what's going on. And if you were at those two masses, probably had 1,000 in both of those masses. The church was packed to the gills. But you couldn't hear a pin drop. And my mom told those two priests that story, and they were dumbfounded. They were stunned. They were shocked. I'm not saying that there weren't five people, about 1,000 people in both the masses. Church was packed. So it depends upon the shepherds. It depends upon the shepherds. So when Ignatius says reverence, I'm trying to interpret reverence for us today. Reverence in front of the sacred. And the sacred is the Eucharist. Is the Eucharist. Okay, I'm going to make a comment from Cardinal Ratzinger. Ever hear of him? Cardinal Ratzinger, he said this when he was the prefect for the Congregation of the Faith. Then he repeated it when he was Pope. Are you all listening?
Yes, Father.
All right. He said, when we lose the sense of the sacred, when we lose the sense of reverence, when our sacramental life declines, immorality ascends. Did all of you understand that?
Yes.
This is Cardinal Ratzinger of Benedict XVI. When we lose the sense of the sacred, when we no longer have reverence before three times holy God, remember Isaiah chapter 6, huh? Three times holy God, then what happens is immorality, it didn't say morality, it said immorality starts to ascend. Okay, put on your theological thinking cap. Why does that happen? You have to reason theologically. Because if we are depriving ourselves of the grace that comes from the sacraments, how will we be able to conquer the devil, the flesh, and the world that surrounds us? You understand? Because we're depriving ourselves of grace. How can we avoid sin? By grace. What's the most abundant flowing of grace? It's through the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ communicates that through what? Through the sacramental system. Look at what happened. I listened to Bishop Barron yesterday. He said only 19% of the people in his diocese go to Mass in Minnesota. 19%. I say here in L.A., it's probably about the same.
Yeah.
And some of you are from Mexico, maybe 15%. Mexico, much less. In Argentina, I was in Argentina, I was shocked. I thought that the churches would be packed. Churches are empty. Philippines, maybe a little bit more, but not too much more. In Europe, Father Victor was there, maybe 7 or 8% in the Roman churches, right? Thanks be to God in Nigeria and Africa that you got some churches that are packed. Thanks be to God. So that's my interpretation of the sense of reverence, is that when we go in front of a three times holy God of Isaiah chapter 6, we should have great reverence. Okay, I'm going to mention three specific ways that we can live out reverence, and then I'll give you a couple of biblical passages. You still listening?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to say certain things that you've been doing, most of you, your whole life, but maybe we have to rediscover a sense of reverence for this. Do you know what the word perfunctory means?
No.
Okay, that's a really big college word, isn't it? Perfunctory would be, if you speak Spanish, la maldita rutina. Okay? It's something you do just because it becomes like a routine, a dead ritual. Okay. Okay, we can enhance our reverence by making the sign of the cross slower with greater reverence. Now, I admit, I'm guilty of this. More than once, I give a lot of talks online. Someone criticized me and said, you make the sign of the cross too quickly. And I'm glad that the person corrected me, because we can get used to sacred symbols. So that's one thing you might try to do as a practical decision. And I'm accusing myself, maybe more than you, is making the sign of cross with reverence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We start off our prayers with the sign of the cross. I think all of us have been guilty of that at least sometimes in our lives. So we start off our prayer with the sign of the cross with great reverence. We're addressing the Blessed Trinity, right? Three times Holy God. Probably those who would make it best are the Latino baseball players. When they make a home run, they actually make the sign of the cross and they point to heaven, don't they? They're Latinos from the Dominican Republic, right? Okay, second would be, when you come to church, do you make a good genuflection? Oh, she doesn't. No, probably not. Maybe not. Now, we learned this in First Communion, but we can sometimes... These are the most simple, basic things, but they should be done with great reverence. I had a priest friend that was in Madrid, Spain, and he was in the church praying before his flight. He had a layover of a couple hours, and he was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and he heard from the back of the church, heard a noise. And it turned out that it was an elderly woman who was about 90 years old, and she was walking with a cane. And when she arrived in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the priest, my priest friend that was praying, This is what she did with her cane. She did this. She went all the way down to the floor with her cane. Then she pushed herself up. Wow. How many of you are 90 with a cane? Most of us are not 90. And... Oh, well, Patrick, yes, okay. But Patrick does not have a cane, and he walks very well. Thanks be to God. You know, a certain sense, I'm very observant as a priest. Many people, they make the genuflection like this. Kind of like a dance hall, huh? So let's try to perfect our reverence in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Try to make a good genuflection. I've been teaching catechism for many decades, no? What I do with the little children and the parents, I'll say, we're going to practice, we've got the Blessed Sacrament, we're going to practice the genuflection. And I'll say, down, up, down, up. Down, up. I should probably do that with you. Especially after a big meal, huh? After a big meal, huh? Yeah, maybe we should do it after the big meal. is a good time of digestion, so you won't fall asleep during my talk, okay? But recognize who you're doing that for is Christ. And that the origin of that is the Middle Ages. If you went in front of a king in the Middle Ages, you would say, "Hey, king, how's it going, pal?" Patting him on the back, you'd be thrown in the dungeon, huh? Rather, you showed your homage to the king by making a genuflection. Yeah, maybe it was the other knee, but a genuflection in front of Su Majestad, your majesty. Okay? Okay, the last thing I'd like to say, and then I'll give you your biblical verses, is this. Have any of you ever been at one of my masses? I've only been a priest for 38 years. You probably have been, right? I try to celebrate a very reverential mass. I really try to do that, a very, very reverential mass. And in time, I think I've improved, because being a New Yorker, I tend to do everything fast. So I've slowed down. People have corrected me. You sometimes go too fast, and I'm trying to do it as best I possibly can. Okay, did any of you ever notice, are you observant in the mass?
Yes.
When I say the name Jesus, what do I do? I can't hear you.
Father.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
Is that Father Broome's private opinion?
No.
Do you know, that's part of the rubrics. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you know that? That's part of the rubrics. Also at the name of Mary, as well as Saint Jane Chantal, her feast day, if you celebrate the Mass in honor of that saint. So it's Jesus, the name of Mary, and the name of the saint. The priest gives a simple bowing of the head. So, at the name of Jesus, this is taken from the St. Paul's letter to the Filipinos. Didn't he write a letter to the Filipinos? Right, a letter to the Filipinos, right? I always make a mistake in that. Correct my English, okay? The letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, is called by the theologians the kenosis, the emptying of Christ, the kenotic hymn, right? At the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and beneath the earth should bow at the name of Jesus. So, I'm trying to interpret Ignatius' principle and foundation for us right now. Okay? This is my interpretation. Trying to interpret it in our own context. So, one is great reverence in the church. The importance of making the sign of the cross with reverence. Making a genuflection in front of, you know, the three times holy God. Doing that with great, great reverence. And then, also, when we hear the name of Jesus, to bow your head. And if you ever hear people that are taking the Lord's name in vain, then you make an act of reparation. And it's common today. Okay, you make a reverential bow of the head. Do you know the way John Paul II would address the people in his audience? Sia lodato Gesù Cristo. I have lost most of my Italian, but I know a little bit of it. Sia lodato Gesù Cristo, John Paul II would greet the people with, "Praise be Jesus Christ." So, may we all praise Jesus Christ in His holy name with our hearts, our lips, and with our lives. Amen? Okay, I'm going to give you a few biblical passages now. Number one would be, Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is Moses. This is my program, if you've done the 10-week program. I'm going to do a repetition. Moses in front of the burning bush. Huh?
Yes.
See, take off your sandals. You're walking on holy ground. Okay, I'm going to give you a lot. And you choose whatever you prefer. Okay, how about the Isaiah chapter 6, the vocation of Isaiah in presence of a three times holy God, right? Then there's another one. Another one that you can meditate upon is Matthew chapter 2, you have the Magi. Did the Magi show reverence to Jesus? How about adoration? So you got reverence, adoration, and service in one gesture. What do? You remember that passage that we hear in the Christmas season for the Epiphany? They come and they prostrate themselves. Now, prostrate is different than genuflection. Prostrate, you throw yourself on the ground, you flatten yourself on the ground. And they open up their coffers and they offer to Jesus three gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And last but not least, you might even conclude with a conversation with Mary praying the Magnificat. In the Magnificat, Mary is praising and giving great reverence to God, her Savior. Amen? Amen. So my style is I'm giving you a lot. Not that you have to do all of it. You choose whichever one you want. The purpose is we want to connect with God. Amen? Yes. So let's ask the Blessed Mother to help us. And then if some of you are kind of struggling to get into it and you're kind of tired because maybe you're traveling, that's par for the course. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if your meditations, you're not already floating in the air, you're not already mystical union of Teresa of Avila, no? Don't feel bad, no? It's spiritual exercise. We're running a marathon, so pace yourself, get enough rest. When you go back home, get a good night's rest, and because this is it's a marathon. This is just the first day of 8 days. So pace yourself, and you know that we're praying for you that this will be the best experience in your life. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou, and blessed the fruit of thy Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever
shall be, world without
end. Amen. Lord, be with
you. And with your spirit. Amen. God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so no announcements? Okay, so that's it. You can do your meditation now if you have spiritual direction.